When we think about Christmas, we think about the joy, we think about the peace, we think about the gifts, we think about the presents, we think about good times with family. But there's a what I like to call a quiet population, a forgotten population. And holidays has the highest rate of suicide, highest rates of depression, because there's social isolation that occurs during the holiday season. And isn't it good to have a church family, saints? But before I get into it, let us have a word of prayer. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's go ahead and look towards the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, you are the master. You are the potter. We are the broken clay, full of cracks, dents, and crevices. Many times, Lord, we come to church fatigued, tired, worn out, frustrated. But Lord, we thank you that you can patch us back up. You can take the cracks in our lives and fill them with your power and your spirit. At this time, Father God, take over this time. Hide me behind the cross. Control my tongue. Allow your people to be encouraged today, empowered today. And let the people in this place know that they are loved and they're not alone. Lord, rebuke the devil this morning. Rebuke any demon from the pits of hell that may come in to steal the message from the ear gate of the listener and steal the message from the mouth gate of the speaker. Lord, you have your way. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And there are several sermons that I've been playing around with in my head. And this particular title has been on my mind for the last 2 or 3 months. But we all can attest to the title of this sermon. And the title of my sermon today is Hanging by a Thread. Hanging by a Thread. Have you ever been in a position in your life where you felt like you were just hanging on by a thread? You were this close from snapping. You were this close from filing a divorce from your spouse. You were this close from cussing somebody out. You were this close from having road rage because enough is enough is enough is enough. You were this close from giving up on God. Have you ever been in a position where you felt that you were hanging by a thread? When I think about a thread, I think about a spider's web. Some spider webs are so thin that you can't even see them with the naked eye. Yet you know when you walked into one. Oh, y'all not walking with me this morning. See, a spider web is so strong in the insect world, they say that a spider web, pound for pound or ounce for ounce, is just as strong as a steel cable. So when bugs fly and get caught up in a spider web. Now to us, because we're giants to the spiders, we could just snap the spider's web with our little bit of strength. But when you're in the insect world, a spider's web is so sticky and so strong that it's like being wrapped with steel cable. Impossible to get out. And I want to encourage us that it's okay to hang by a thread as long as you're hanging by the right thread. And the thread that I want to talk about is your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ. That is the thread that cannot be broken. That is the thread that cannot be snapped. That is the thread that cannot be obliterated because of our trials, our tribulations, and our problems. And as we look in John chapter 6, we're going to see how powerful Jesus Christ really is. Are you ready for the word this morning? We're going to start at verse 11. If you have something to write with, I suggest you take notes so you can study on your own at your time of leisure. Verse 11 reads, Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. Likewise, also the fish, as much as they wanted. Let the church say, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost. So the disciples gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments or leftovers from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, this is truly a prophet who has come to the world. Let that sink in. The first point I want to make when we're hanging by a thread is to talk about trouble. You ever been in trouble? You ever had trials and tribulations? Are you seated in here right now going through a trial or tribulation that only you and God know about? All right, so I'm in good company. Amen? Amen. All right, so that means you guys will be attentive. The first point I want to highlight today is that trouble loves to show up directly after triumph. Trouble loves to show up immediately after triumph. We have to understand in verse 11 through 15, Jesus had just fed over 20,000 people. Now, we're quick to say it's the 5,000. No, it was 5,000 men who ate. But the Bible declares it was men, women, and children. So you have to multiply that 5,000 by those three groups. So between 10 to 20,000 people were fed from 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. Now God is a way maker, amen? God is a miracle worker, amen? But as soon as God performs miracles in our lives, as soon as we have triumph, be prepared for trouble. But this is something I want us to highlight today. Jesus gave the express command, gather up the scraps. Why is that so important? Do you know that the blessings of God have leftovers? Do you know that when God moves in a mighty way in your life, there will be scraps left? Now, those scraps are not to be discarded. Those scraps are to be gathered up and carried to your trouble. Because you're going to have to feed, catch this, you're going to have to feed off of the scraps of what God has already done. See, I was talking to the Sunday school class today, and I said there's a difference between understanding God and knowing God. I can read a textbook and understand who God is. But when I go through some things, when I go through hell and high water, when I go through trials and tribulations, and I see the hand of God in my life, I see that he's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I see that he's Jehovah Nisi, my banner. I see that he's Jehovah Rapha, my healer. See, when I experience God, I know that I know, even though I may not understand. I don't understand why he's allowing certain things, but I know he's God. I don't understand why I'm getting in trouble on my job, but I know God provides. I don't understand why my children are acting a fool, but I know God says, if you raise them up in the way they should go, when they get older, they will not depart from the teaching that God told you to teach them. See, we have to, in 2019, we have to become no Christians, not necessarily understanding Christians. One thing I try to do now on my job, when I have a teacher that goes through a crisis or they lose a parent and I give them a card, the first thing I say is, I don't understand your pain. We got to stop lying to people. And telling people, I understand. If a parent comes to me and says, hey, my son is doing X, Y, and Z, and I've never experienced that, I'm not so fast to say, I understand what you're going through. No, you don't. Raise your hand if you've ever been stung by a wasp or a bee sometime in your life. Okay, you can read in the textbook, in the science book, that a bee has a stinger. But until you get stung by one, you have not experienced the pain of that sting. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. See, God, catch this. This means if God wants us to know him, we have to get stung by some things in life. We read the word of God to prepare to be stung. We read the word of God to understand that he's a way maker, but we won't know he's a way maker until our backs is against the wall. Is there anybody with me? So now we have, if we set the backdrop, Jesus just performed this miracle. Everybody's happy. 5,000 plus people have been fed. He tells the disciples to get up the scraps, put them in baskets, and get in the boat and go across the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee has a lot of different names. They call it the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Capernaum. But the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles wide, 13 miles long, and the average depth of the water is 85 feet. And in its max depth is 141 feet deep. Let's bring that to some understanding. A 10-story building is 100 feet high. Y'all with me? This sea is so deep that you can take a 10-story building and submerge it, and water will cover the top of it. Y'all walking with me? Okay. All right. Now, y'all have that in your brain, because we're going to need to call on that as we go through. Y'all got it? Okay. So the first point is trouble loves to show up directly after triumph. Let's look at verse 15 through 18. Is it making sense, saints? Verse 15 reads, so Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now I have to touch on this before we read further. Jesus had already promised his disciples, go to the other side and I will meet you there. When you read the other gospels, you'll see that. John doesn't highlight that, but that's what he said. He had already promised the disciples that when you go across the sea, I will meet you there. Catch this. There are some things that God has promised us, but you're not there yet. You haven't gotten to the other side yet. But a promise does not postpone pain. Y'all didn't catch that. Promises do not cancel out the pain of the process to get to the promise. Are y'all with me? God could promise you to graduate from college, but that does not mean you're not going to have tough classes. That doesn't mean you won't have academic probation. It doesn't mean you won't have thoughts of quitting school. That doesn't erase the realities of the struggle. But you have to know that God has promised me to walk across the stage. Are y'all walking with me? Let's look at the word. So Jesus, perceiving they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew himself to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, let the church say evening. Now, evening means that there's no sun. And sun gives off, and you need light to. Okay. When evening came, his disciples went down to the where? The sea. And after Getting into the boat, they started to cross the Sea of Capernaum. It had already become light, dark. And Jesus had not yet come to who? Oh boy. You ever been to an amusement park and you know you don't like roller coasters, but somebody talks you into getting on one? And soon as that bar comes down and you hear that thing go click, you already know you can't get off. It's too late to reconsider. It's too late to tell them get off. Once that thing goes click, you are subject to whatever the track predicts in the next 25 seconds. You may go up, down, all around, through water. It's too late. Then you find out this is the tallest roller coaster in the country. It has a 300-foot drop. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. It's the same way with God. Once you lock in with Jesus, there is no getting off. Once you give your life to Jesus Christ, once you become a Christian, it's a roller coaster ride. Don't let nobody lie to you and say the Christian life is easy. There will be some times in your Christian life where your stomach will be in your throat. There will be some times you will feel the G-forces of gravity. There will be some times where you will feel like vomiting because you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. But that is a part of the ride. But when you know that God is in control of the ride, the fear of the ride can be turned into joy of the ride. Is anybody with me? Let's keep going. It had already become dark and Jesus had not come to them. Verse 18. The sea began to be stirred because of a strong wind was blowing. Then when they had rowed about how many miles? 3 or 4 miles. They saw Jesus. My God. Before I read any further, what's the first point, saints? This is the second point. Storms show their greatest fury when we are far away from our sense of security. When you no longer feel, if you ever been to a pool as a kid, you stayed in the 3-foot section, and you were just, you know, okay being in the 3-foot section because you could feel the bottom of the pool. But as you start going into deeper water, your entire foot is on the cement of the pool. And then it's your balls of your feet are on the bottom of the pool. Then it's your tippy toes touching the bottom of the pool. And then it's nothing on the bottom of the pool. And notice, panic doesn't set in until your security blankets have been removed from under your feet. See, it was easy to say God is good and good all the time when you're being fed 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and you got leftovers. Oh, y'all now walking with me. See, it's easy to say God is good and I love the Lord and he heard my cry when all the bills are paid and the mortgage is not behind and the repo man is not taking the car and your kids are on honor roll. But what about when all these security blankets are taken from under your foot, when you, in your own strength, your resources have been stripped? See, God will oftentimes strip us of all of our resources and strip us down to nothing so we can see him clearly. Okay, let me say this another way. Sometimes God will strip you down to nothing so you can only see nothing but God. You understand what I'm saying? See, so if you're going through a season of being stripped, If you're going through a season of everything's falling apart, it doesn't necessarily mean you're out of the will of God. It could mean that you're on your way to the other side. Oh, y'all not walking with me. There's another place that God wants to take us to, but it's going to require us to be stripped down to the nuances of who we are. When this boat was being hit by the water, hit by the wind, they couldn't see the boat. They didn't care about their strength with the oars trying to row. They could only look for the sun. But the Bible says it was already dark. So there is no sun, S-U-N. So when there's no S-U-N in your life, that's when you have to look for the S-O-N in your life. It is the S-O-N who's able to walk on the water that's drowning you. Is anybody with me? Let's look at the word. Y'all love the word? Let's look at the word. 17. And getting into the boat, they started to cross the Sea of Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come. You know what this tells me? God will let you suffer. But not the whole time. Let me throw that piece in there. God will let it get dark in your life where all you hear is wind howling and your boat is rocking. Now, we got to understand. Let's look at the engineering of the day. Y'all ever heard about pirate ships? Y'all saw how big the pirate ships, you know, Captain Hook and all those guys. They had cannons coming out the side of the boat, out the boat. Okay, this is well before pirate ships. So imagine the ships did not have the engineering or architectural intelligence to build a seaworthy vessel. So these boats were just boats. They were not cruise ships. They were not aircraft carriers. These boats were crudely made just to float. Because this is first century we're talking about. Now, let me tell you something else they didn't have in this day. They didn't have any electricity. Just think about that. You have no electricity. You don't have a motor on the boat. The only thing you have is manpower. The only thing you have are wooden oars and teamwork. And so I want us to understand, back then the source of light were candles. Are you with me? But how can you light a candle when the wind is blowing? So these guys are in pitch black night. They can't see their hands before their faces. Have you ever been there in your life? You can't get up from falling down. You can't see your hand before your face. You're just happy to wash your face in the morning because you're so depressed. Is anybody with me? We all have those dark moments, amen? But there's hope. There's hope, okay? But let's keep going. Verse 18 says, the sea began to be stirred up because of the strong wind was blowing. Then when they had rowed about how many miles? 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat. And they were frightened. And catch this. But he said to them, it is I. Do not. Let the church say, do not. Do not be afraid. So they were willing. This is a very important point. They were willing to receive him into the boat. And what? Oh, let's say this again. Say it like you mean it. Immediately, the boat was at the land which they were headed. Okay, nobody preaches this miracle. We talk about the 5,000 people fed, right? We talk about Jesus walking on water, right? But nobody talks about how fast they got across a 13-mile stretch in 3 miles. When you are willing to ask Jesus to come on your boat, he has the uncanny ability to accelerate the process. This Sea of Galilee or Sea of Tiberias or Sea of Capernaum is 13 miles wide. They had only got 3 miles in. That means they had 10 more miles to go. But when they saw Jesus and when they invited Jesus, there are two types of Christians that are in rocky roads right now. There's the Christian who sees Jesus walking on water, but they didn't invite him into the boat. And then there's the Christian who saw Jesus walking on water, invited him into the boat, and now they have accelerated. They've accelerated their growth. They've accelerated their job situation. They've accelerated in their marriages. They've accelerated those business opportunities because they said, I'm going to take the vision that God has given me, and I'm going to give it to God and say, Jesus, you take it over. I'm going to take my trial, what I'm going through. Instead of me laying somebody out, I'm going to lay on my face and give it to the Lord. This is why he says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. This is why he says, come to the throne of grace boldly. You have access to the Father through the Son. And many of us are going to die in the middle of our life sea because we saw Jesus, but we were not willing to invite him on our boat. Is this making any sense? Why would John, the earthly author of this book, we know the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God, but he used holy men that were moved by the Spirit of God. But why would John take the time to say immediately? Let me tell you something. People are not going to understand why they saw you for so long struggling, saw you for so long in turmoil, saw you for so long always losing in life. And then out of the blue, you accelerate. How in the world did you do that? We expected you to die in this condition. We expected you to always be depressed. We expected you to always be losing. I invited Jesus into my boat. Now, when you invite him in the boat, you have to give the oars to him. You have to give him authority over your trial. See, many of us are trying to overcome our trial. That's why John took the time to say they were rowing. They were in their own energy, in their own strength, in their own resources. They were rowing themselves, but you can only get 3 miles out the deal on your best day. But you have 10 more miles to go. But when you see Jesus, he's able to accelerate the process. This leads me to my third point, saints. This hit me like a ton of bricks when I was studying this. We are to look for Jesus in our storms, not a way out. Oh my gosh, y'all not catching this. Our human inclination is to get immediate relief. Am I right about it? If you ever had chicken pox, you want relief. The calamine lotion may work for a while, but you want the chicken pox to go away. There is a natural response to pain. That is a natural response to problems. When we're working on a job and we're working for a supervisor or a manager that is a jerk, that raises our pressure up, that causes us to snap on our children when we come home because we're overloaded on our jobs and we're being treated as a second-class citizen on our jobs and we're dealing with some things that we should not have to deal with, our first inclination is, Lord, get me off this job. We're looking for an exit. Now, don't confuse an exit with trying to better yourself. That's not what I'm saying. Don't confuse those two. But you do what you can until something better comes your way. You learn what you can learn under those hellish circumstances until God opens up a door. But the person who opens up the door is not your resume, it's God. But you still need to prepare as you wait. Are you with me? So with God, man, when he showed me this as I was studying this, it took a lot of weight off of me that I was putting on myself. He said, Lamont, stop looking for a way out. Look for me. Now, why would I look to you, Jesus, and not look for a way out? Turn to John 14:6. This is why you look for me, son, and not always a way out. Because there's some people in here right now, you're looking for a way out, but you're not looking for Jesus. We have John 14:6, say amen. Verse 5 says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Now, the interpretation of this is exclusively talking about Jesus Christ is the roadway to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. He's the true way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. There is no other way to get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. But in application, Jesus is the way. Now, there are three things that we need to know about when it comes to knowing that Jesus is the way. The first thing is, he is the way to eternal life. All right? Y'all got that? Secondly, Jesus is the way in to heaven's gate. All right? He's your way in. He's your way to, he's your way in, and he's your way out. He is your way out of all your troubles. Give me some word on that. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms 34. Is this blessing anyone today? Psalms 34. 34:15. 34:15. Because I don't know what problems you brought here today. I don't know what pain you're bringing here in here today. My job is to encourage you from God's holy word. Amen? That's my job. When you have Psalms 34, say amen. Verse 15 reads, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards who? The righteous. And his ears are open to their what? Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop hoping. Don't stop crying at night. God hears you and he sees you. Your tears are not in vain. The face of the Lord are against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and what? Out of what? Oh, I don't think y'all believe that. I don't think y'all believe that. Now, in order for me to cry, I have to be in pain. Either I'm experiencing pain or I'm releasing pain. You ever worked so hard for something for so long and you kept getting a no, a no, a no, a no, no, you're not good enough, no, you can't do it, no, it won't happen, no, it will never happen. Then when it finally happens, your emotions start welling up and you start crying. You're happy, but it's the pain that's coming out of you. It's the years of grinding. It's the years of patience. It's the years of endurance. That stuff comes out of your stomach. But it comes out through tears. No pain, no cry. No cry, no God hearing you. No God hearing you, no deliverer. You don't need a deliverer unless you're trapped by something. So that tells me, in order for God to exercise his attribute of deliverance, he has to allow you to be trapped by something. No one delivers a person that doesn't need delivering. Doctors are only good for sick people. If you're well, you need not a doctor. So you have to be sick to qualify to get medicine for the doctor so you can be well. God, catch this, God will never place us as his children in a purely independent situation. He will always have our lives so set up and orchestrated and strategic that we will hit some bumps that are too great for us, just so he can be a good father. Boy, y'all quiet today. But I know this is the truth. God has to allow some pain in our lives so he can be all of God that we need him to be. Can anybody witness that? Look at verse 17. The righteous cry. Don't let nobody tell you if you love the Lord, you're not supposed to go through nothing. Because this verse wouldn't be in there. Don't let nobody lie to you and say, if you do everything according to the word of God, you'll never experience no pain. You'll never experience any loss. You'll never experience any frustration. You'll never experience any ounce of depression. You'll never experience somebody doing you wrong, betraying you, scandalizing your name, calling you everything but a child of God. As a matter of fact, because you're righteous, because you're a child of God, be expecting those things to come your way. Because storms always show up at the triumph. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 18. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Have you ever been crushed? You ever had your dreams crushed right in front of you? You ever had your heart broken? You ever been betrayed? Anyone? Does it feel good? You ever had somebody you thought was your real friend come to find out your worst enemy was 10 times better? You ever had somebody tell a secret that you didn't, that you thought it was going to take to the grave, and now it's on social media? It's on Instagram now, it's on Facebook now. Keep living. It happens. So you will experience a crushed heart. Broken heart, a crushed spirit. You ever been depressed? Tell the truth, saying the devil. All of us at some time have been depressed because things are just not going right. Amen? Look at verse 19. Many. I know we don't want to hear this, but listen to this again. Say it with me. Many. Many doesn't mean one time. When I thought I had it coming to me. Right? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But. Let the church say but. The Lord, not your supervisor, not the lottery, not your spouse, not your children, not the pastor, not your church affiliation. It's the Lord and the Lord alone that delivers him out of them all. Don't forget that all piece. there's no greater salvation. That's a beautiful benefit of our salvation. Do you know? Not do you understand. Because you can read a textbook and understand. No, I'm talking about the people that want to know. You're going through something right now. You know this is real. You know that these tears are not crocodile tears. These tears are real. My pain is real. My frustration is real. And I'm hanging by a thread. I didn't want to come to church today, but I'm hanging by a thread. I didn't want to love my wife or my husband today, but I'm hanging by a thread. I didn't want to believe that God can do the impossible, but I'm hanging by a thread because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Oh, man. But holy, not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, if I spelt that right. I wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ the solid rock I stand. On other ground is sinking sand. On other ground is sinking sand. Those disciples were in the boat. The only ground they had was the solid rock. His name is Jesus. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Notice, the author of that song didn't say on Jesus' hand. He said, his name, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All you need when you're hanging by a thread this Christmas is the name of Jesus. Because it's something about that name. All I need to get through my rough water season is the name of Jesus. I don't necessarily need a miracle from Jesus. I just need the name of Jesus. Because his name is so powerful. His name can heal. His name can open up doors. His name can promote. His name can prosper. His name can unchain you. His name can bring you closer together as a family. It's the name of Jesus that's attacked. Everybody wants the blessings of Jesus, but they don't want the name of Jesus. Is anybody with me? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Nothing's going to be easy. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. What does all mean? All means everything that you can conceive, think, or conjure up. So if I'm going through something, and going through something for the last 10 years, you mean to tell me based on this scripture you read to me, God's going to deliver me out of this? Yes. You mean to tell me all the stuff I'm going through on my job or going through with my family, my children, whoever or whatever, you mean to tell me if I trust the Lord, he's going to deliver me out of that? Does it fall under all? Yes. Sister June, good friend of mine, used to work together. God told you you're going to get to the other side of that doctrine. He wouldn't open that door for you to get into the University of Phoenix if he didn't hold a key. Who opens up a door for no reason? But you still got to get through stats. You still got to work on your conceptual framework of your dissertation. You still have to deal with the chairperson's different attitude. You still have to write your papers in APA style. But God, if you keep trusting him, that's the key. If you stop letting him walk on the water of your doctoral work and get into the boat, he will accelerate you and get you to walk across the stage as Dr. June Jones. And all of us will be witnesses of what God promised you. He'll fulfill it, but you got to trust him. That's the key. You got to trust him. I'm just trying to encourage you. You will get to the other side. Verse 20 says, he keeps all his bones. Not even one is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord, let the church say the Lord. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. And none of those who take refuge in who? Yourself? Your own strength? Your resources? Your denomination? No, in the Lord. Those who take refuge in him. I'm sorry, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. We have a choice, saints. We have a choice. We can't stop the storm. You can't pray it away. You can't wish it away. It's here, it's in your face, and it has punched you in the mouth several times. And now you're tasting your own blood, and you have a loose tooth because this trial has been punching you in your face. And every day you wake up, it punches you in the face. And when you go to sleep, it punches you in the face. When you go to work, it punches you in your face. When you come to church, it punches you in the face. When you sing in the choir, it punches you in the face. When you raise your children, it punches you in the face. But guess what? Get back up. Trust in the name of Jesus and know, Lord, I'm tired of getting punched in the face. I want you to take over this trial. You take over this illness. You take over my educational situation. You take over my business ideas. Lord, you take it over. Because you can accelerate me. Does anybody want to be accelerated to the other side? You can't do it in your own strength. Give it to Jesus. But as we close out, you cannot claim none of these promises that we covered today if you have not first received the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. These promises are only provided for his disciples. Let us pray. Father God, you are God all by yourself. And there's nothing we can do to hasten, to speed up, to even remove the storms we're going through. And we all have storms. Some storms are larger than the others, but we all have them. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you take over our storms. We invite you now into our boats. We invite you, Lord, to take over the storm. Take over the trials and tribulations that we're going through, Lord. Lord, it's too big for us. It's too great for us. We can't fight this anymore. Well, Lord, you hold all power. in your right hand. And all you have to do, Father God, is speak, and it will be done. Lord, help us, Lord, to trust in you when it doesn't make sense. Help us to love you even when our hearts are full of bitterness. Help us to serve you even when we don't want to sometimes. Help us, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in the crowd today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that they'll take this day and get serious and ask you to come into their heart and save them. If there's anyone here today and you want to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you came from heaven, born of a virgin, to die for all mankind and shed your blood for the forgiveness of sins. Lord God, I receive your blood and I receive your sacrifice on the cross. And I ask in the name of Jesus that you come into my heart, save my soul, in Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone prayed that prayer and you want Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask that you come forward. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that you come forward and show the world that you made the best choice of your life. At this time, I want to have a brief altar call. If you are going through something and you want to come here to release whatever you're going through and give it to Jesus, join me at the altar. Is there anyone? If you have a heavy load on you and it's too great to bear, and you're tired of trying to do it yourself, and you just want to give it to Jesus and invite him onto your boat, won't you join me at the altar as we pray for one another? We can't do this by ourselves. We can't do it in our own strength, because we will run out quickly. Amen. Let us look towards the Lord in heaven. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you, Lord, for using me one more time. I'm not worthy, and I have a lot of growing to do. But Lord, I thank you anyhow. Because Lord, you're God all by yourself. Lord, the people who are up here today made a choice to believe what your word says. They made a choice to recognize that they're in a deep ocean in their life and they can't go any further in their own strength. Some of these people up here, Lord, have a heavy load on their shoulders, Lord. A load that's too great to bear. A load that oftentimes crushes them in spirit and breaks their hearts. But Lord, you said, I didn't say it, I just repeated it. But you said in Psalms chapter 34 that you hear the cry of the righteous. You said that you are near to those who have a broken heart. You said that you will deliver us out of all our troubles. You said that, Lord. And one thing that I know about you, Lord, is that you cannot go back on your word. So, Lord, based on what we know about you, based on what we know what your word says, based on what we know about what you've already done in our lives, we want to invite you to not just walk on the water, but to get into our boats. Lord, get into our boats. Get into our boats. Whether it's illness, financial situations, Lord, get into our boat. You lead us. You guide us. You strengthen us. You give us understanding in things we cannot understand. Give us peace. Give us strength. Give us relief. Because, Lord, you showed us today we don't need to look for a way out. We just need to look for you. Lord, we see you. Now we need you to take over. Lord, you are God. We know this to be true. We know this to be self-evident that you are able to do exceedingly above whatsoever we ask or think. We know this to be true. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too heavy that he can't bear. That's why we're here, Lord. That's why we're here. Because we know that we know that we know that you are more than able to heal. You're more than able to restore. You are more than able to promote. You're more than able to prosper. You're more than able to deliver. You're more than able to overcome. You're more than able to release us from depression. You're more than able. That's why we're here. Lord, thank you for hearing our cry today. Thank you for drawing near to us in our pain. Thank you for showing us the truth about life. Life may be rough. Life may be tough. But as long as I got King Jesus, as long as I have King Jesus in my boat, I will get to the other side. Get us to the other side, Lord. Get us to the other side, Lord. Some of us feel like we're drowning right now, Lord. Get us to the other side. In the name of Jesus, we invite you, Lord. The invitation is going out today. Come on in, Lord. Come on in our boats. Take the wheel, Jesus. You're God all by yourself. I see you. And you are the way out. You are the way in too. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you in anticipation for what you're going to do according to your will. We already thank you now because we know it's already done. It's already done by faith, by hope. Our hope is not built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness.